Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who has instructed the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us to be wise in what is right and ever to rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The signs. Our Lord makes himself known to us by giving sufficiently clear signs. In that hour he cured many of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many that were blind he bestowed sight. Then he replied to those who had been sent, Go, and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk. You do not have to look for another. I am the Lord, and there is no other. He declares in today's first reading. He brings us the happiness that we are hoping for. He satisfies all the aspirations of the soul. He who finds Jesus finds a good treasure. And he who loses Jesus loses a great deal, more than if he lost the whole world. He who lives without Jesus is poor indeed, and he who is with Jesus is rich indeed. There is nothing greater to search for. And he comes as a hidden treasure, as a pearl of great value, whose value we must learn to appreciate. Hidden from the eyes of men who are waiting for him, he is born in a cave, and some simple shepherds are the first to adore him. It was the simplicity of these men that would enable them to see the child who had been announced to them. It enables them to surrender themselves to him and adore him. Others who find him are the Magi, old Simeon, who was looking for the consolation of Israel, and the prophetess Anna, and John himself, who points him out, This is the Lamb of God. Likewise did a good number of his disciples, and all those who, throughout the centuries, have made their whole lives revolve around him. Many have given their lives for him. We too have found him, and this discovery is the most extraordinary part of our poor existence. Without our Lord, our lives would be worthless. He makes himself known to us with clear signs. We do not need any more proofs in order to see him. God always gives us sufficient signs to discover him, but we need good interior dispositions to see our Lord who is passing by alongside us. Without humility and purity of heart, it is impossible to recognize him, although he may be very close. We ask Jesus now in our personal prayer for good interior dispositions and for supernatural outlook so that we may find him in the things around us, in nature itself, in suffering, in work, in what appears to be failure. Our own personal history is full of signs so that we do not mistake the way. We too will be able to say to our brothers, to our friends, we have found the Messiah, with the same certainty and conviction as that with which Andrew told his brother Simon. Supernatural outlook, so as to understand the happenings in our life and the events around us, humility, a clean heart, presence of God. To have supernatural outlook means seeing things as God sees them, learning to interpret and judge events from the angle of faith. Only in this way will we understand our lives and the world around us. Sometimes we hear people say, if only God would work a miracle, then I would believe, then I would take him seriously. Or, if God gave me more convincing proofs of my vocation, I would give myself to him completely and without reserve. Our Lord gives us sufficient light to follow the way, light in our souls, and light through the people he has placed beside us. But our will, if it is not humble, has a tendency to ask for new signs, and even then would want to judge whether they are sufficient. Sometimes this apparently sincere desire for further proof before making the decision to give oneself more fully can hide a type of laziness or conceal a lack of correspondence to grace. At the beginning of one's call to the faith or to one's vocation, God generally lights a little lamp which illumines just the first steps that we have to take. Beyond these first steps is darkness. But as we correspond with deeds, so the light and the certainty become greater. God always shows himself clearly to a soul which is sincere and humble and is seeking the truth. Go and tell John what you have seen. God has to find us with the humble disposition which is fully authentic and which excludes preconceived ideas and enables us to listen. God's language, although adapted to our way of being, can be difficult to accept at times because it goes against our plans or our fancies. Sometimes his words may not be precisely the ones we were expecting or the ones we wanted to hear. Sometimes the atmosphere of materialism which surrounds us can present us with false reasons contrary to the language by which God makes himself known. Then it is like listening to two different languages, God's language and the world's language, the latter presenting us with reasons which are apparently more human. This is why the Church invites us to pray, Almighty and merciful God, may no earthly undertaking hinder those who set out in haste to meet your Son, but may our learning of heavenly wisdom gain us admittance to his company. The soul's conversion in order to find God in our daily duties. You do not have to look for another. Jesus Christ is among us and he calls us. Behind him on this earth of ours, he has left the clear outlines of his footprints. They are indelible signs which neither the erosion of time nor the treachery of the evil one have been able to erase. How I love to recall these words, Jesus Christ, the very Jesus who was alive yesterday for his apostles and the people who sought him out. This same Jesus lives today for us and will live forever. Yet at times, we poor men fail to recognize his ever-present features because our eyes are tired and our vision clouded. It was with that clouded vision and lack of faith that the fellow countrymen of Jesus looked at him the first time he went back to Nazareth. Those Jews saw in Jesus only the son of Joseph, and in the end they rudely turned him out. They could not see any deeper. They did not discover the Messiah who was visiting them. We want to see the Lord. We want to get to know him, love him, and serve him, and to make this the primary objective of our life. We have no more important objective than this. What a great mistake it would be if we were to haggle, to lack generosity in carrying out the things that refer to God. Open the gates wide to Christ, his vicar here on earth encourages us. Have confidence in him. Take the risk of following him. Obviously, this demands that you should come out of yourself or your own way of reasoning or your prudence. It demands that you leave behind your indifference, your self-sufficiency, those unchristian habits that you have had, perhaps acquired. Yes, that demands renunciation, a conversion, which first of all you must want to pray for in your prayer, and want to put into practice. Let Christ be for you the way, the truth, and the life. Let him be your salvation and your happiness. Let him take over the whole of your life so that with him you can live in all its dimensions. Let all your relationships, activities, feelings, thoughts be integrated in him, or, so to speak, Christified. I wish, said the Pope, that with Christ you may come to recognize God as the beginning and end of your existence. Once again, we must want a new conversion, that turning towards God just before Christmas, so as to contemplate him with a clearer look, and never with tired eyes or clouded vision. This is why, with the Church, we beg, keep us alert, O Lord our God, as we await the advent of Christ your Son, so that when he comes and knocks, he may find us watchful in prayer and exultant in his praise. The Blessed Virgin will help us in our struggle against all that separates us from God. We will be able to prepare our soul during the feasts that we are about to celebrate, and we will be better able to guard our senses, which are, as it were, the doors of the soul. Now, Lord, I begin again with the help of your Mother. We turn to her because it is the will of God that we should have nothing which has not passed through the hands of Mary. As a resolution from this time of prayer, we can offer our Lord our desire to carry out faithfully the plan of life that we have agreed on with our spiritual director, even though for some reason it may seem difficult. The fortitude of our Mother, the Blessed Virgin, will help our weakness and will make us experience that with God nothing is impossible. Today's reading comes from In Conversation with God, Volume 1, the third week of Advent, Wednesday.